Broadcasting from the historic 1047 studios nestled in beautiful downtown Valley City, it's the Toast and Jam Podcast. 30 minutes of local sports, trivia, news, and special guests. Hosted by Tim Oast and Paul McDonald. Sit back, relax, and let the fun begin.
This podcast is being done on April 1st. No fooling. It's April Fool's Day. It's also Appeals Day. We'll talk about that, and we'll tell you about that a little bit later. Mother Nature, of course, playing a joke on us with some snow. But we get...
I'm appealing the weather.
It makes sense to me. No fooling around here, though. It's time for another Toast and Jam from the 1047 Studios. Back for another weekly podcast. I'm Tim Oast, or Toast. And here he is, Paul McDonald. We call him Jam.
That's right. I'm appealing my suspension.
When do you get suspended?
From podcasting.
Oh, is that, I'm appealing. I think it's the bat you're using.
It is. I got one of those torpedoes.
Yeah, the new Yankee bat. Yeah, okay. Cheaters always win, don't they?
Hey, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
I know. Toast and Jam is sponsored by the North Dakota Army National Guard and our trivia sponsor, Nodak Insurance, Chris Quolvang, agent. Our executive producer, I hear he didn't get a raise.
No, he did not. He just got lunch bought for him.
Okay. Eric Kringley, thank you for what you do. Our special guest today is Valley City Public Schools Athletic Director Rob Hunt. Rob, glad to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, great. First timer. Okay, if you're wondering about the 1047 studios, all you have to do is look at the clock.
I'm permanently stuck there.
Yeah, he's an NDSU grad.
That's
he's
right.
No dummy.
Don't hold that against him. Oh. And he's a Cavalier grad, too.
Well, I know. I've got one in my house, too. So, yeah. Okay, before we talk to Rob, let's get some info on our sponsor, North Dakota Army National Guard.
You want me to do that?
I think you should.
I will. The Army National Guard, of course, has many service options available. And you decide which is the best fit for your lifestyle. You can be an enlisted soldier, a commissioned officer. But, of course, the big thing is the combined federal and state tuition assistance programs will cover up to 100% of tuition at a North Dakota State-supported school. And check it out. You can give Maddie Schlager, our local recruiter, a call at 429-1098. That's 429-1098. Or check them out at ndarmyguard.com.
Very good. Okay, today is Appeals Day. And again, our guest, Valley City Athletic Director Rob Hunt. A couple of years ago, I'm going to do a little background here first. A couple of years ago, we devised a three-class system for boys and girls basketball, which I always thought was way overdue, but they got it done. And I think we can thank Josh on part of that too, right?
Yes,
Josh
we can. Johnson. Mr. Johnson was one of the champions.
And Mr. Carlson over down.
Yeah, Mitch Carlson, yeah. Valley City was placed in Class A, or the middle class. Can you tell us again, so we can start this with, what made up the middle class? What were the qualifications?
Going off the original plan, just breaking everything up from Class A to Class B, they really went off school enrollments was the biggest driver behind it. So they just drew some firm lines in the sand of, all right, this school's above this enrollment or placed in this division, and then likewise following down, and we got placed in the A division.
Okay, and then comes the tournament performance factor.
Yep.
That factors in.
So when you win a state title, you get 4 points. If you're set runner-up, you get 3. Semifinals, 2. If you make the state appearance, you get 1. And at 6 performance points, you get automatically moved up to the next division, which is what our girls just went through.
Right.
And the process that's put in place is you have to appeal to be able to remain in your division or current division.
And that's over a 3-year period, those yep. performance points, yep. that factor.
And if you ever move up a division, so if a Class B school came to Class A, your points got reset. It's points in that current division.
Okay. And like you mentioned, the girls did well in the state tournament the last 2 years, and that'll move us back up to AA.
Yep.
Where we were before.
Yep. So it's virtually all the EDC schools, which a ton of data at today's presentation of what supports us not going up to that division.
Okay, so that leads us to the meeting you had this morning.
Yep.
With the High School Activities Association, and made the appeal, and you feel pretty good about it?
Yeah, I think in the end, going back and being able to pull all the data, we went from Coach Howard's first year here back in 14-15 as he was the head coach, pulled all the data, and we played a ton of EDC games. We played schools that are currently Class A that used to be in EDC, and putting all that information out there for the committee to see. here's our record. I think it was a 30% win ratio when we were in the EDC. We only won 30% of our games. Here's the, we actually had a losing winning percentage when we were in just the Class A games. So you pull up the Wahpetons, the Devil's Lake, Lisbon, Oak Grove, all teams we played over the last 10 years, and we still had a losing record.
They never won a state tournament.
Never won a state tournament. So here's the data. Here's our enrollment trends. Here's all the information that I can give you. But, yeah, we haven't. Girls basketball hasn't been a state dominant program in whatever division we're in. Mm-hmm. And even now, it's 1 year. It's the first state championship our school's ever had.
Exactly. And what's really scary is the numbers are headed for B, yep. Class B.
Yep. If you're looking at 15 girls out this last year, we had one eighth grader, Josie Heck. So if our trend continues, we got to get more and more girls out. And that's a statewide and national problem of girls basketball is just struggling for numbers.
Participation. Yep. It's tough. Yep. Yeah. All the schools are going through that, I think.
Yeah, but even Davies was pulling up some eighth graders to play on their lower divisions this year.
It was really fun watching the state tournament. So you're seeing a lot of seventh and eighth graders. They are leading the teams, yeah, which is crazy.
Central Cass had one this year. That's where I'm like, it's fun. It's fun to see those kids get out and compete.
And they're letting and the coaches are letting them play. Before, they had a lot of pressure. I mean, a seventh, eighth grader starting on a varsity team, they got a lot of pressure from a lot of people. Yeah.
The higher your participation numbers is, that's harder for a community to handle. When you're short for girls or short for boys, being able to bring those kids up, it's easier. There's just less kids.
So what other criteria do we use keep you down? That's it.
Well, that the championship points, that's it. That's the only factor to bump you up. Off that, they have that's six or seven different points that they use between enrollment trends, competition, teams you've played in the division up or below. They have some external factors that they would look at, but really it's the success points that are going to automatically bump you up.
And we're not going to know until later this afternoon.
Hopefully somewhere between 2 o'clock and the end of the day, I get a call from Mr. Fetch.
We're recording this at 1 o'clock, and hopefully we'll have something that we can maybe add
you
on
never know.
In the show here for the week. What other teams? I'm trying to wrap this around my head. Okay, so you're going to take teams out of the middle class.
Yep.
How do you replace those teams from B?
So the theory is the appeals committee has two jobs, and they already met for the first one. Any team that would like to move down a division, they have to put their appeal into. So Fargo South was one of them. Lisbon put it in. We're not seeing success, or we're not being competitive at the current level that we're in. We would like to transition down a level. Those meetings were already met. They didn't let anybody do it. The committee didn't allow anybody to do it.
So South did not get to go down.
Nope. South didn't get to go down. Lisbon didn't get to drop down to B. So that's the committee that gets to decide all those things. It's the same thing. They appeal. Committee hears their argument, and they can vote one way or the other as a committee. Okay. So that mechanism is put in.
Wow.
Yep.
And the B schools that are going to be moving up would be?
West Hope and Bishop Ryan. Bishop Ryan.
Okay.
Yep. So there's two on that level, Devils Lake girls, Devils Lake boys, Kindred boys, and our girls could all get bumped up to AA. They're all presenting today.
Okay. We don't have any new schools going in yet.
No new schools coming in. The next year, there's a bunch of teams with 4 and 5 points that are potential. Yeah. Okay. Thompson's one of them. South Prairie Max is one of them. There's a bunch, depending on how they do next year.
Horace girls, maybe.
Yep, they'd be up there too. So anybody that made the state playoffs this year, and if you won it, you're on the block next year because it doesn't take very much to get 6 points.
Wow. Kenmare Bull Bills has got 5, so they're the highest one as far as the Class B girls. So they would be the next possible one.
So if they do move a team up, you could replace, but that would shift and everybody's on a 2-year schedule, so it'd be tough. If they moved people up right now, we'd have to change our complete schedule. So our boys and girls schedules are virtually set for next year. If they decided to move our girls up, our boys schedule is set. We are in Region 1A. We know what we're going to play. Then we'd have to come up with a completely new EDC schedule.
Do you think the 2 years thing is maybe too short?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think the point system and the same point system's in for volleyball, football, and basketball. I think 2 years is too short of a span. If you get a really gifted class that comes through, they could be good for 4 years. And 2 6-points, you win one championship, you got 4. You make the playoffs 2 other years, or you make the state tournament 2 years, that's 6 points.
Yeah.
So you can win it and get 8th 2 years in a row, and then you're potentially moved out. That's where I'd maybe making it longer, maybe making a dynasty, because I think traditionally in Class B, you've got teams that come through or classes that come through. They're really good. They're gifted. But you have them for 4 years, so they could make a 4-year run, but then what comes after that? Mm-hmm. And if you move a team out, are you going to punish? You're not punishing that team. You're punishing the kids that come after that have to put up with whatever division that gets stuck in. So it's not the kids that are currently there necessarily. They could graduate. Mm. Bailey Lou graduated. Greta Govan graduated. You're not punishing them if we move up a division. You're hurting the Birchells, everybody else coming through.
Yeah.
Okay, so in a sense, you're kind of punishing for performance too.
Correct.
I mean, you're moving up.
Yeah. Kinsey Glant, Nor Peterson, they're the ones that have to bear the brunt of the senior, junior, and sophomore class being really, really good. And even Josie Eck as an eighth grader, I mean, she's the one that has to play that schedule next year.
From champ to chump.
Correct. That's a tough one to me.
That is. It is tough. Just think if they did that in college football.
Right. You'd be losing teams all over the place. And then how do you compete? Can an NDSU go up and play against Kansas State every single week? Not a one and done, but that's a tough.
Yeah, that is very tough. Well, I'm sure they're still kind of making their way through this thing to see what was going to be the best fit.
Correct. And it's a feel out. So it's the first year for basketball to have to come through this appeals committee. Mm-hmm. Volleyball is going to have the same thing next year and the year after that as we go to three class volleyball. I'm on the football committee, and that's not easy either. You've got teams that are bumping up and down. The points make it tough.
And speaking of football, we Valley City had to get this Barnes County thing figured out too. Barnes County North and Valley City with the co-op.
Yeah, we got to keep the co-op.
Yeah, it's nice.
It works out, but it's really nice to keep those kids.
Out of all of the criteria that you went through today and that are out there, the competitive history, the enrollment trend, the participation rate, and feedback from the other Region 1 schools, what do you think is probably the most important? Are they all equally important?
I think they're all equally important. I think in the end, all of it paints one picture. If you're dominant and you're beating everybody and nobody wants you in your region, even though your enrollment stays the same, it's a tough place to be in. But I think all of them play and paint a perfect picture of enrollment, we fit here. Competitive schedule, we fit here. Even looking back the last 10 years, we're 50-50. Mm-hmm. Even Devil's Lake against Thompson. Thompson's beat them 4 out of the last 6 times that they played each other. It just happens that Devil's Lake beats them in the tournament. So going back and when all of them tie together and all of them show the same data points coming through, we belong in this division, that's what helps. If one or two of them didn't fit, if our enrollment was 700 and we were winning basketball games, well, then our story doesn't fit that we should be at this level. But our story is consistent for every single one of those points that we are in the right division.
And every team in Region 1 wants us to stay anyway.
Yep.
I mean, they want that good competition in Region 1, so they play that good team twice a year.
And they get to play in the Highlander Activity Center, too. Right. I mean, what a venue.
I'd say we have one of the best facilities, and as we can keep adding to that, teams like coming to play in our house, and that's one. It should be an enjoyable, it's the best experience we can offer these kids.
Overall, Rob, the three-class system, though, was the right move.
100%, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think it's better for everybody. You get more teams to state. The TV coverage is through the roof now.
Yeah.
They've come up with a good schedule of alternating the weekends when people are playing.
Right.
Everybody has access to it. The venues are full. It's just not being a basketball person. I still give Mr. Johnson grief about this. There's hysteria around basketball in North Dakota that I was not prepared for. Wrestling background, wrestling family, I still don't fully understand it, but it's treated different. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
There's hype about it that everybody feels and everybody's passionate about in the state, and it's an amazing thing.
You're talking about football, and again, your roots are Cavalier, NDSU. How close do you stay to the Bison as far as being an alumni?
Pretty close. That's one. It's here. They run a great organization. I can support almost everything that they do. And having North Dakota represented and a place for our kids to go. And I'd say Coach Schmidt up at UND does the same thing. Anything that's going to promote this state, give our kids opportunities, and they've embraced it. They recruit a ton of kids in all their programs across the board. But tied into NDSU, obviously, it's a home. It's a passion for me.
You know, I look at that, the reclassification. You think about the Cavalier days when you were playing. That was double A.
Yep.
And now they're playing nine man.
Yep. It's just the transition of towns grow, they get smaller. It's being able to adapt and put them in the right division where they need to be.
Exactly.
And it's always going to change in North Dakota.
Of course, wrestling, we moved to Class B next year. And now, I don't think they've put us in a region, but they put us in that southeast, Lisbon, south border. Yep. It's like, hello. Welcome to the big time.
I don't think that's going to be any easier.
No, it's going to be a gauntlet. And that's where you could argue that Class B top to bottom is harder than Class A.
Yeah.
Class A, you've got your studs, but Class B
all the way through,
they're just consistently tough. There's not as many studs. They're out there, but the whole team is just much better across the board. And that's small town North Dakota takes pride in a handful of programs, and wrestling's one of them. They show up.
Well, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. Mother Nature throwing us a little curveball here for your spring sports.
Yep.
So we have to adjust again.
Yep. So this week we were supposed to host a baseball game. We're supposed to host two track meets. It's been along with the appeals committee, you get this thing and you're trying to piece through of who's canceling what, who's postponing here, where are we moving this stuff, and trying to get gym space now we're all back inside. It's just, it's the perfect nightmare of welcome to spring in North Dakota.
So is this job what you expected when you first took it?
I would say, yeah. Yeah, I think it's evolved. I haven't had the same year yet. I would say coming in, making that first transition from Class B or Class A, knowing we're going Class A, then schools get reconfigured, we downsize administration, you get an assistant principal piece put into that, and you start up some of the youth programs, the third through sixth grade programs that we've added, third through eighth grade programs that we've added, trying to get all the substructures that we need so we can have success in all of our programs. And I do have to give a shout out to Josh Legine, has done amazing stuff between the Fargo-Moorhead Youth Basketball League that we're helping with, the flag football program that we've got. Belky's done a grand, fantastic job with the track and field stuff, the cross country, getting the youth involved. Tennis is fantastic. We have 31 girls signed up for tennis this year.
Yeah. Wow.
That was the same number we had all for football last year. We had 31 boys on the football team. We've got 31 girls signed up for spring tennis.
How do we get that going again?
That's just, it's just plugging it. It's getting the right people put in place that are going to promote it and trying to get a coach. And hopefully Coach Smith does that. That ties the Thunder football program all the way up to the high school. Mm-hmm. Here's who we are. Here's what it's to be a Highliner. And this is what we're going to do. And having the same offense, defense, so those kids can learn and they're engaged and they're connected. And tennis, Matt probably does the best job. Coach Nielsen, he's driving the bus for a state championship team, state championship tennis coach, and he's out there all summer with the rec league, and they're running a program. He's engaged with the kids. He's connected. That's where we're moving. That's the model that we want to put in place for all of our head coaches, basketball included. They're all tied together. When you're a head coach, you're the head coach from virtually kindergarten or third grade through 12th grade. They're the kids that you're going to get. You're responsible for them.
And hopefully we can throw a new school on top of that, huh?
I would love some more gym space.
Because if memory serves, because it was a public meeting, so everybody has if they know, they know what's going on. If the new school goes, the gym would be only practice in Fayette. The hack is still going to be the hack, and that is still going to be the game facility.
Yep, that would be our competition facility across the board.
You can't let that go.
No, it's a beautiful facility. And that's
it's only 22 years old.
And when people come in, so next year I've put in bids. I love to host. It's a pain in my butt, but for our community, unbelievable. Yeah. So we're hosting Region 1 volleyball next year. So all the Region 1's coming here. The first year we have it, we're going to host 3 days straight. All eight teams are coming to town. They're going to compete in our gym. So trying to make it the best venue possible so teams want to come back.
I think one of the early years, it was either the first or second year, we hosted an EDC tournament in volleyball at the hack. And I remember that because I had a daughter playing volleyball, but that was huge.
Yep, and this will be Class B travels so much better.
Oh, yeah, a lot better. Oh, yeah.
So we put the bid in for that one. I put the bid in for boys and girls wrestling, too.
Nice.
So hopefully next year we'll hear some back from high school activities and we'll be able to host regions for wrestling.
And you got that holiday basketball tournament going again. That's always good.
We had 16 teams coming to town. We had 16 wrestling boys teams. I think we had 12 girls teams. Mm-hmm. We host more things in there that whether the community knows about or doesn't, but anytime you can bring people to town, they're going to the small shops, they're eating in town, they're getting gas in town, just come to Valley City.
Dumping a lot of money into our community, and that's a good thing.
So if I have to underbid as a school and I had to get Mr. Johnson's permission, I'm sitting there, it's like, I'm going to put this bid in. I'm probably going to lose money as a school, and it's going to look bad. But all these people are going to come to town, and that helps us.
It's all tax dollars. Yeah. That's what it's about.
Correct. Let's get people to town so they can see what we have.
No kidding.
And I think boys and girls or girls wrestling next year is going to split because it's been statewide up until now, and I was going to be split A and B.
Yep. Yep. They finally have enough girls out. It's one of the fastest growing sports in North Dakota. Yeah. We had all of our girls out this year. We found a practice place for them, and we're patching it together, but we're trying to make it as best as possible.
Trap shooting, another sport that is really growing rapidly.
Yep. All across the state, and that's one that's outside of high school activities, but it's big.
Yeah, and I was talking to somebody in Minnesota, and they said, yeah, we just started that, you know, and I'm sure that'll grow over there, too.
Yep.
But it's a fast-growing sport.
That one's growing in Wisconsin and Minnesota, bass fishing.
Oh,
has come out. So I'm volunteering to coach. You don't even have to pay me for
that. How the heck did you play-by-play for bass fishing? No, I'll throw that one back. That's
not big enough.
Yep. No, there's some.
You better weigh that one.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
From the corner of the boat. Nice one.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Will Josh let you off in the spring to go with that bass fishing thing?
I would say if it's coaching, there's got to be at least two or three-day tournaments.
Exactly. Summertime somewhere, right?
We got to go out to the southeast of Minnesota for 4 or 5 days just to scout. I'm sure it won't be a problem.
Yeah, not a problem at all. Okay, very cool. Oh, boy, anything else you'd like to add?
No, I would like to thank all the coaches. Yeah. So looking at the volleyball elementary program we put in, softball's got an elementary program, basketball's got an elementary program, Thunder football's established, Express Wrestling, all those parents and coaches that don't ever get recognition, that have put the time and energy in, they're the ones that make our 7-12 athletics go. And in the end, that's the community part of it, and having those programs for our kids to be able to participate in with low cost, or just being able to come do it for free, something for them to do. The graduation rates and GPAs of kids that are involved in activities, whether it's speech, Congress, music, whatever they are, if they're tied into an extracurricular program, higher graduation rates, higher grades. So big thanks for me, because they make my job easier. All the work that they put in that nobody ever sees, but nobody knew Josh Lagine put on flag football this year unless you're involved. But he had kids up at that football field every single day, and the Fargo-Moorhead youth kid, 110 kids participated, and parents across the board, volunteered coaches, and that's what makes my job easier. So I'm thankful for those people.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
A lot of great people out there, and we don't see them.
Nope, but you're the ones that do all the hard work.
You bet. And you know what? Kids remember coaches.
Yep.
Remember your first coach?
I remember my first coach. That I do.
Yeah, I just talked to my high school football coach this weekend. He's in Minneapolis right now, and I think he was like 25 years old when he was coaching us, and just out of college. And but you know what? He's we're still kids to him.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
He's like a second dad to us.
I remember Mr. Hardy. We had lunch with him. He was one of the assistant coaches from Cavalier. He's retired up by Park Rapids, Minnesota.
Yeah.
And we tried to get together with him once a summer of shop class from him, the shop teacher tech ed, and then football coach. Yeah, it's they remember and they impact and they also help a lot.
I think mine closed it up by saying, from your second dad, your old coach.
Yep.
You know, and that's kind of cool stuff.
Yep.
You don't forget that stuff.
No, not at all.
No. Rob, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. If there's anything you guys ever want or need, let me know.
Oh, will do.
We'll let you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Waiting to hear that big announcement.
Yeah.
I got a good feeling about it, to be honest with you. I got a good feeling about it because I don't think a lot of the people in the room heard the numbers before or saw the numbers before, and then they see it up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's an eye-opener.
Yep, it hits home, and that's one.
It does.
No text yet. I just checked my phone.
He'll be pretty close to that phone all day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
All right.
Don't call me.
And Rob, you are excused if you have to get back to what you're doing, but we're going to finish up our show with a few things here yet, and if you want to stay, sure can.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. Thanks, Rob.
Sports history. But first, before we do our sports history and sports birthdays, let's just recap some of the sports that's going on right now. NDSU women's basketball team losing a tough one last night in overtime to, who do I want to say that was? Tulsa. No, not Tulsa.
Oh, shoot.
Troy.
Oh, Troy. Alabama.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Lost to Troy in overtime, like 97-88.
It was a good game.
Yeah, exactly. March Madness Final Four has four number ones. Haven't done that in a while.
And the women have three number ones and a number two.
Hmm. No surprises.
No.
You're saying?
No. No, not in the women's basketball. No.
It was too bad South Dakota State had a match up with UConn that early.
They stayed with them for a little bit in the first half, and then I think it was like an 11-0 run.
And you can only do that against the good teams.
Exactly. Eventually they're gonna take off.
And I thought Grant Nelson had another good tournament.
He did.
He really did. I just don't see them. I didn't think they used him a lot the way they should have, but that's the way they run that team.
And of course, you know, with the portal, I'm sure you've heard, Mr. Eaglestaff.
Oh yeah, he's off.
He's
where are
going
he going?
To South Carolina. He's going to be a Gamecock.
Wow.
So the Eaglestaff, who was from Bismarck, went to UND, is on his way to South Carolina.
The UND women's basketball coach is done, and so are seven players that left.
Yep.
Wow.
They had a big coaching changeover at UND. I think it was, I want to say women's soccer. Their coach was fired.
I didn't hear
Bubba
that one.
Bubba resigned slash told there's the door.
Bradbury.
Bradbury, the hockey coach.
They got the assistant that's been there for like 19 years.
Yep. It's going to be a lot of changes up in Grand Forks next year.
Yeah. And the Twins not off to a real good start.
Thank goodness there's 158 games left to go, so we can still go 158-4.
Okay. April Fool's joke.
Exactly.
Twins are, I don't know what's going on.
At this juncture, I'll take 80 wins.
Rocco better just hang on to his job because he may not make it through April.
If come May 1st, if they are well below 500,
mm-hmm. it could be it.
Yeah, it's time to move on.
Yeah, pitching is a problem.
Pitching
always,
and hitting?
Always has been.
It has.
And who's our hitting coach? Do you even know him? Who is it?
I think we have two. We have one for the Hispanic players that can help with the language barrier, and then another one. And you're right. I have no idea who the hitting coach
was. Back in the day, we knew all the coaches.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't know. Yeah. And our pitching coach, he could go,
Mackey.
Too.
Yeah, Mackey. Yeah. And it's funny, I know the pitching coach, but I don't know the hitting coach.
Because we never hit.
It's because we don't hit. Oh.
And, of course, the Yankees have a new bat.
They do.
Really?
The old torpedo, the new torpedo bat.
And it's legal.
It's legal. Ruiz was, I'm trying to think of his Ruiz, but I'm trying to think of his name. Skips, it's off my head. Cincinnati star.
Okay.
Had seven RBI, had like a double, two doubles, a single, home run, seven RBIs in the first game that he used this torpedo bat. And it's made differently, and the knob looks kind of like a bowling pin.
How would they know it's legal if they only have one bat that they've used for centuries?
That's a good question.
Okay.
As long as it weighs within the right, you know, the restrictions, it's long.
Well, obviously, it's helping somebody. They had nine home runs in the first game.
Yeah.
Three home runs on the first three pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Like I said, can we just play the World Series in June and get it over with?
Just have the Dodgers and Yankees play now and get it over with.
Yeah. Again, spring sports on kind of a hold. VCHS, the Highliners.
They were supposed to have girls' track tonight and boys' on Thursday, already been postponed. I have not seen the latest. I probably could have asked Rob, but they were to play on the road on Thursday, or home Thursday in baseball.
Baseball.
And that more than likely will be moved. Yeah. Girls' softball was to be playing. They're going to be playing now end of the month. They were to go up to Davies. And that game has already been postponed. But he's right, you know, and it's not fun this time of year being an activities director at a school in the upper Midwest or Minnesota, North Dakota.
Mm-mm.
You're constantly getting up in the morning going, well, what's today's weather going to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what are we going to do now?
Why do you think so many people don't turn into ball players or golfers from up north? Don't have a long season.
Well, just wait till the Therrelson Family Center is built over VCSU, and that might change things a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and the Highliners might be able to play in there too, I'm sure.
Yep. So they're playing in the Jamestown Bubble, I believe, next week.
Okay. And VCSU, what about VCSU, they're going south again? Right?
Well, VCSU softball, they were to be playing at home this weekend, whether or not, I doubt it. Bellevue was supposed to be here for a four-game series Saturday and Sunday, more than likely heading to Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball was to play at home last week against Bellevue. That ended up going down to Nebraska. But they lost their first four games. The baseball lost all four of that series to Bellevue. Women swept Dakota State. And so they're 4-0 in conference play as they get ready for this weekend. But, yeah, probably not going to be at home this weekend.
Okay. Sports history.
Mm-hmm.
April 1st, 1972. This was no joke. MLB players stage first ever collective strike. Players agree to a $500,000 increase in pension fund payments. 1973 on this day, despite a final round 5-3 loss to Montreal, Boston Bruins center Phil Esposito wins his third consecutive NHL scoring title with 130 points from 55 goals and 75 assists. And that was in a 78-game season, mm-hmm. shorter season.
Yep.
1996, I don't know how this one found its way into the sports history, but 1996, Howard Stern radio program premieres in Boston on WBCN, 104.1 FM, in the live morning drive slot. How does that make it into the sports?
That's a
How did that get in here?
You're the one that researched it, so you have to double-check that one.
Oh, man. Must have been watching the old Howard Stern movie or something.
Oh, man.
On this day, 1999, Philadelphia 76ers head coach Larry Brown wins his 900th pro game with a win over the Miami Heat. He had some wins in the ABA, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he a Kansas State or Kansas coach?
He was Kansas. Kansas, for
Kansas
long.
Yeah. Sports birthdays today. Bo Schembechler, born on this day, 1929. career record 234-65.
It wasn't all in Michigan. He was somewhere else.
Miami.
Miami of Ohio or University of Miami?
Miami University, okay. 63-68.
Okay.
And it was at Michigan 69-89. And an administrator, also in Michigan, passed away 2006. On this day, 1936, Ron Peronoski came into this world. Remember him?
Twins reliever.
Yes, he was, and Dodgers. A.L. Sales, I'm thinking sales. A.L. Saves leader in 1969 and 70 with the Twins.
Okay.
World Series 1963 and 65 against the Twins.
With the Dodgers.
Yeah, with the Dodgers.
Lefty, if memory serves.
Mm-hmm. Also born on this day, Phil Niekro.
Nuxie.
Yeah. Baseball Hall of Fame pitcher, knuckleballer. I always liked that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to throw a knuckleball back in Babe Ruth days, and I did.
Yeah.
But it didn't flutter
didn't
like
flutter.
His. No.
Got hit pretty hard?
Well, yeah. But I did throw a no-hitter against Oaks one time.
Really?
Yeah, no-hitter.
But they didn't have the torpedo bat then.
No, they didn't. Good thing.
That's probably wood bat days, too.
Of course, I think I watered the ball down,
there
too.
You know. Go.
See, you know how you do it, right? Okay, 1973. He had a no-hitter, by the way,
mm-hmm.
Phil Niekro. Five-time All-Star. Okay. I'm down to my last.
You're down to your last one.
Sports trivia brought to you by Chris Quilvang, Nodak Insurance. What do you have for
Nodak
Insurance?
Well, you know,
Easter's
coming up.
What?
Easter's coming up.
Yeah.
So you're going to have all those Easter eggs in one basket. You're going to want to get them all insured.
Make sure they're all different colors. Different.
They could get broken, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to get a company that you can trust, like Nodak Insurance Company. And remember, the more you insure with Nodak, the more you save. Home, vehicles, business, at a price that won't break you. No pun intended with the eggs. Chris Quilvang is the agent with answers. He was at today's meeting as a backer of Highlander Athletics.
Always.
He was there along with some parents and some fans that were out there because it was a public meeting.
Yeah.
We couldn't say anything, but we could sit there and listen.
Well, and it gives the board an idea of what kind of support
right.
our school has
exactly.
here in Valley City. Yeah.
But 845-2912. Give Chris a call over at Nodak Insurance.
Nodak Insurance. Oh, I want to throw something in. I don't think we got to highlight a couple of All-Staters from Valley City.
We had
two All-Staters,
one
right?
on each.
Yeah.
One girl. We had Katie Burchell was a first-team All-Stater, and Bryson Heck was a second-team All-Stater.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he also, along with Mike and Mattson, were All-Region 1. And Katie, along with Dakota Fortretz and Sky Nielsen, were All-Region 1 as well. But, yeah, it's kind of cool getting one on each team. More than likely, they'll be, well, she won't because she's only a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
But he could get a call to play Shrine football or Lions basketball.
Or both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Trivia question. Baseball, of course, we're into it right now.
And last week's was a baseball question, too.
Yes. Okay.
And this one did not surprise me.
Okay.
I knew the answer to this one. But it might surprise a few. Which of the following imposing pitchers never won the Cy Young Award?
I was somewhat surprised.
I being a historian, a baseball historian, and liking the history of baseball, I kind of knew this one. But you had Johan Santana was one of your choices.
Yep.
He won two.
Two.
As a twin. Barry Zito, he won with the Oakland Athletics. Roy Halladay, the late Roy Halladay, he won, I want to say, either with St. Louis
or Toronto.
Or Toronto's when he won his. But Nolan Ryan never won. Seven no-hitters, 5,700 career strikeouts, and never won the Cy Young.
That is weird.
Well, part of it, he was on not real good teams, the California Angels.
They weren't a winning team.
No.
But still.
I think he only had maybe one or two 20-win seasons.
How many years did he pitch with Texas, though?
About five or six.
Yeah.
He was with the Houston Astros.
And he was throwing heat then, too.
He was still throwing 100 miles plus.
Wasn't he one of the first?
He was the first. Well, Bob Feller, I think some people say Bob Feller probably clocked close to 100 miles an hour back when he was a.
Did they have a speed
prime.
Gun back then?
Not when he pitched. He just threw against a motorcycle. You see that video of a motorcycle come flying by Bob Feller, and he threw it, and he beats the motorcycle to the finish line.
He's throwing 85 right now. Motorcycle only did 75.
Yeah, couldn't hit top speed.
Okay, here's another baseball one for you. It's one of those, You might have to do a little research on this one. And this did not come from my baseball book.
Okay.
Who was the first player in Major League Baseball to hit a home run as a designated hitter? Who was the first player to hit a home run as a designated hitter in Major League Baseball?
Well, I know who the first DH was, but he's not the answer to the question.
Okay. Who was the first player to hit a home run as a designated hitter in Major League Baseball?
So it would have been around 73.
The DH started in the American League.
Yep. Yep.
So yeah. Think about
National
that
National League fought it for years and years and years.
Yeah, they did. But they like it.
They do now.
It saved a lot of guys' careers.
It did. Yeah.
That is our trivia question this morning. Afternoon, morning. Today. Whenever you're listening.
Yeah, whenever you're listening.
Brought to you by Nodak Insurance, Chris Quilvang, agent. Words of encouragement. Either you run the day or the day runs you. Either you run the day runs you, from Jim Rohn. That name ring a bell?
Who?
Jim Rohn. R-O-H-N.
Huh. Jim Rohn.
Either you won... Either you run the day or the day runs you. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Little hello to, again, I was reaching out to my high school football coach. Got to say hi to Lee Elger. Lee, I think we got another listener. He listened to our program last week. So
okay.
I think we have another new one, yes.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, by the way, we do have more than two listeners.
We do.
If someone's worried about that.
We got a couple of them.
Yeah.
We got a couple.
Maybe three, four.
I think four. Well, we got Glenn.
That's right. Glenn, hey, how you doing? Glenn Sommerfeld.
Well, then we got Eric because he's forced to.
That's true.
He has to listen.
So that's four, three already.
There's three right there, yeah. So we're good. We're on our way.
Okay.
But a way you can listen to us again.
Oh, yes.
We have three ways you can listen to us. You go to Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. You can go to our website at toastandjam.com. And when you go to Spotify and Apple Podcasts, be sure you follow us. Click on the follow button. And, of course, it's free. We're not charging for this. This is free entertainment. You don't get this kind of entertainment for free anymore.
Where can you get free entertainment like this?
You can't. It's just not possible. So, again, follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We appreciate all of you that are listening and that join us each and every week for the fun and frivolity that is Toast and Jam.
Anxiously waiting on the appeals with the High School Activities
Association. I would say within the hour, the last team is hitting the, if they stayed on schedule, Bishop Ryan was the last team to appeal, and they're on the clock right now.
All right. That's it for this week's Toast and Jam from the 1047 studios in the Times Record Building, beautiful downtown Valley City. Toast and Jam, sponsored by the North Dakota Army National Guard. And our trivia sponsor is Nodak Insurance, Chris Quilvang, agent. Thanks again to our executive producer, Eric Kringley. Didn't get the raise that he was hoping for. He did get a little bonus, though, right? He did get the bonus.
He got lunch.
The bonus lunch?
He got a bonus lunch.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks again, Eric. You do a great job. Any closing thoughts here
as we wrap up? Because we're talking about Eric real quick. Concordia College tennis, where son Kai plays, his son Kai plays. They are on a roll right now. They only won, one conference match, three matches last year. They won four in a row right now.
Way to go.
With the sophomore Kringley leading the charge.
Nice.
Could get up to six in a row with the ones that they got coming up this weekend. So there you go.
Awesome. That's good stuff. Toast and Jam, signing off for another one. Bye-bye.